time to take it down to the nightclub. My boy Rick Stevens, of course, the late Rick Stevens. May he rest in peace. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look in the world of boxing. We take it to the East Coast. From the West Coast to the East Coast, we bring in the Bronx Bomber. I'm talking to Mr. Socrates Palmer, boxing's true PhD. And Sock, what was your impression last night of Canelo Alvarez's performance?
Hey, I, like many, I was impressed. I think that Canelo really showed that legitimately he's creeping up on the all-time great status. You know, I mean, I know he's kind of a polarizing figure, and I guess like most fighters are that are considered to be at the top of their game. You can always nitpick at certain things. Obviously, the PED testing that came up a couple of years ago, that's going to
Time out. If you're going to drop that line in there, you better explain what it is to the listeners. I will. A couple of years ago, Canelo ate some meat, and it was tainted with steroids. Allegedly, he ate some meat. He didn't take the steroids. Allegedly, the contamination was through the meat. Correct? Boxing's PhD?
That is correct. That was his alibi. And what helps him is that other athletes out of Mexico have had that same issue, namely some soccer players and I believe some track and field athletes as well.
It does sound like a nice excuse for Flintstone vitamins, though, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and you know what? He served the suspension, and the biggest damage is that that will always be a cloud around him, you know, when it comes to his history and his legacy. But aside from that, last night he did what he had to do against an opponent that I probably gave too much credit when I saw the record and there's a couple of fights that I did see him in the last few years. I thought Caleb Smith was going to give a better performance. I thought he was going to show some hunger on the big stage. But at some point, he was almost just content to not get knocked out. You know, he didn't open up. He had no answer for Canelo's speed. And Canelo's just a beast. You know, when he sees somebody that's going to offer very little resistance, he's going to take it to him. Now, he wasn't able to put him away. In the last round, you saw that he was going for the knockout, and Caleb Smith had his moments, but at that point, there was just no respect for Caleb Smith's power, and Canelo just walked him down. And he probably could have gotten a stoppage if he worked the body more and threw more combinations than what we are used to seeing. When you had mentioned that to me last night, that he looked almost like a fighter that might be training himself. You know, he's with his posture in the corner, which is kind of like a taboo, you know, with your arms up on the rope, almost like that arrogant laziness, you know, that that an old school trainer would probably check him on it. But then again, you know, the corner for Canelo, they're there because of Canelo. You know, I'm sure they walk on eggshells when they're talking
Hector Martinez told me that Eddie Reynoso is the trainer and that his father, Eddie Reynoso, is the manager. Is that the way it goes or what? Something like that?
I am not aware of that. It's possible. You know, I mean, they've been with him since day one.
Yeah.
You know, at first, I believe the old man was the one that was the trainer, and he's a butcher, I think, by trait, if I remember the story. And I guess he's fallen back as he's gotten old and his son has taken over. But, you know, what's there to criticize about Canelo last night? I mean, he looked fresh as a daisy after 12 rounds against a bigger man. And he just prove that there are levels to this sport, and Canelo right now is that he's the top of the food chain. You know, he's without a doubt, he's on the pound for pound, he's the pound for pound king, both in the box office and in the ring.
Yeah. I was of the opinion that he carried him for 12 rounds, and that at the end of the night, Callum Smith gets to go back to the UK and tell all those people he finished on his feet, the whole nine yards. His career isn't destroyed. Canelo moves on to another day. He's tight with Eddie Hearn now. Looks like Eddie Hearn's calling all the shots. And as far as Larry Merchant said, now we're number one, that Eddie Hearn's money is some Russian oligarch that invested $1 billion in him. Is wow, $1 billion. I don't know if I put $1 billion in Eddie Hearn. Would you?
Well, that's a lot of money. I mean, I wish I had $1 billion that I could.
But in Eddie Hearn.
Well, Eddie Hearn, right now, I mean, if he is his, you know, pseudo promoter, I mean, he's got two of the biggest names in the sport in Anthony Joshua and Canelo Alvarez. So, you know what I mean? It's a lot of faith in one guy, and he's got a network, which is very important.
Okay.
So I guess it's a smart investment.
Eddie Hearn. I'm grunting.
He's putting on good shows.
Okay, I'm grunting and groaning over that, but we'll just let it pass. Anyway, let's talk lightweights. 135 pounds. Teofimo Lopez making noise this week, of course. I told you he was offered $3 million to go down to Australia and take on unbeaten but sort of limited George Cabrasso's. Very tough guy, though. No doubt about that. Very aggressive guy. They were going to fight in Sydney, Australia. He was offered $3 million for that. And this week he says he doesn't want to fight in Australia, but he'll take $5 million to take on Devin Haney. Who's Devin Haney?
Well, as per Teofimo Lopez, he's the email champion of the world.
Okay.
I'm surprised that Teofimo Lopez wouldn't go to Australia. I guess maybe he feels that the same treatment that Manny Pacquiao received, he'll get down there. I think Cambrosos is a good fighter, but I think he's limited, and stylistically, he seems tailor-made for Teofimo to look spectacular against. I'm very surprised he turned that down. And the Devin Haney fight for $5 million, do you think that gets made before a fight between Garcia and Haney? I mean, because if anything, the Garcia-Haney fight is the easiest to make because they're both under Eddie Hearn. So, I don't know.
Okay, Teofimo Lopez, unbeaten now, 16-0, of course, 12 KOs. Gervonta Davis, the tank coming off that rollover, of course, the guy that was lighter than him. Vasyl Lomachenko, 14-2 now. Devin Haney, the aforementioned unbeaten, 25-0. Richard Comey, Cambrasas, Leo Selby, Luke Campbell, Ryan Garcia. Ryan Garcia. I like Ryan Garcia. Why am I jumping on the bandwagon with Ryan Garcia? Am I an internet bot too?
No, I think you're someone that sees potential. And if out of all those names, if there's one guy that could cross over and be a star even bigger than Canelo Alvarez, it's Ryan Garcia, without a doubt.
Because he speaks English.
Exactly. He dominates. He could dominate both cultures. And he's got the third culture in the chicks. The chicks dig him, you know, at least while he's young and good looking. He's got that De La Hoya appeal. He's going to bring that audience as well. He's out there in LA. He's rubbing elbows with LeBron James and all the big wigs out in LA, Hollywood. You know what? If he was a stock, you definitely would buy him now, you know, and now might be too much. You know, he was like Tesla was 10 years ago. He's got star potential. Do I think he's the best? Do I think he's the most coddled and protective out of all those guys that you mentioned? Definitely the most coddled. The best, not so much.
Gervonta Davis, is he at 130? Is he going to stay at 1? What's it going to be? The southpaw, of course, from Baltimore, Illinois, unbeaten 24 fights. Leo Santa Cruz blitzed him with that one-punch shot coming up the middle. We sort of expected that. Poor, you know, Sanchez was in a no-win situation. He couldn't make a dollar anywhere, so he was forced into this fight with Davis, and he got lit up like a White House Christmas tree. Took it like a man. People cheered him as he left the ring, but that's like yikes. You know, that didn't look good for me. If I was him, I wouldn't have felt confident going into that, would you?
You know, I'm not going to say they cashed him out, but I guess they kind of figured that this is its peak, and if he gets beaten, you know, he can still come back down and fight at a more natural weight. But Leo Santa Cruz has made good money, you know, and what was at stake, I guess, was something historic in his legacy. But most people thought, like myself and you, that he was just outgunned. You know, he gave a gallant effort. He gave the effort that you wish Caleb Smith would have given or Mikey Garcia, you know, but he paid the price for trying to give the effort of winning a fight, and he got killed almost, you know, with that uppercut, which is one of the knockouts of the year. Earlier you mentioned Lomachenko. I don't know if you caught wind. He was making an excuse and calling fix on the judges and really coming off as a sore loser, something that we kind of already thought he was, but he really put an exclamation point on it. I don't know if you caught wind of that.
Nothing like the guy in the White House, but back to Ryan Garcia for a minute. 20-0, 17 KOs. Of course, he's coming off that one-punch knockout over Francisco Fonseca. He's taking on Luke Campbell. It's going to go down January the 2nd. Of course, that'll bring in the new year on DAZN. What does Luke Campbell bring to the dance here with Ryan Garcia?
He brings experience. He brings a tremendous amateur background. Excuse me. He's been in the ring with two of the best fighters of this the last few years at lightweight, in Linares and Lomachenko. He's a credible, good fighter. He's left-handed. He's fundamentally sound. It's going to be a big test for Ryan Garcia, and it will tell. It's going to tell us if Ryan is the real deal or not. You know, I think it's a very, very tough fight for Garcia to win.
Masayoshi Nakatani, of course, lost that 12-round lost that 12-round decision to Teofimo Lopez in 2019. He knocked out Felix Verdejo, and it was a really ugly knockout with like a jab last week. Did you happen to see that?
Yes, I did. In a very entertaining fight, in a fight that Verdejo really got off early, and you thought like, okay, this young man has kind of found himself. You know, Felix Verdejo, about 4 or 5 years ago, we were talking about him the way we were talking about Garcia and Teofimo Lopez. He was the next guy that was going to, you know, carry the mantle that Miguel Cotto, you know, left for the Puerto Rican legacy. And he really hit a wall, had a bad car accident. He was upset by a Mexican fighter, I can't remember the name, and his career has really sputtered. And he got out in front, and he just gassed out. You know, Nakatani was relentless and a tough fighter. He's 6 feet tall, lightweight. That's a tough matchup, and he broke him down. And yes, he finished Verdejo off, and probably the last we'll see of Verdejo in a big spot.
Is he the Juan Manuel Lopez of 2020?
Excellent comparison. But even Juan Ma, though, at least had, you know, Juan Ma had some good wins. I mean, before he ran into the African fighter that really just destroyed him that night and never recovered. Verdejo is more, I would probably liken him to, I don't know, maybe like a Panchito Bajardo, like a prospect that just,
I'm going to let you go with this one, but here's what's up. I bring Bajardo in for an autograph signing session in New Mexico, and he's doing blow. He's got chicks in his room, the whole 9 yards. He's smoking cigarettes. Good Lord. He wasn't even like, he was only like 12-0, 13-0 at the time. Anyway, the story of Francisco Bajardo. Boxing PhD, Socrates Palmer, we are blessed to have you on Sunday. Thank you so much. We'll see you Saturday.
All right, brother. Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
The great Socrates Palmer on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Next up, George Carlin on Muhammad Ali.